As you heard in our headlines, Nigeria has just come off an election where Muhammadu Buhari has won a democratically elected election, one of the first in Nigeria's history. It is possibly the first time that an opposition has defeated the sitting government through the ballot box. So definitely a very exciting time in Nigeria. And joining me on the line is Tracy Thompson, who is a video journalist from Sahara Reporter. So our listeners might know that Sahara Reporters is probably one of the most popular alternative news sites on Nigerian news out there, and we'll get Tracy to speak about that a bit. But Tracy was actually in Nigeria during the elections, and she is joining us now on the line to speak to us about the results. Hello, Tracy.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for joining us. And so you have literally just come back from Nigeria. I think you got back yesterday. Is that all right?
Yeah, Friday night.
Very nice. So we're really glad that you were able to join us. And as I had mentioned, this is the first kind of democratically elected president or to have defeated a sitting president in Nigerian history. And can you tell us a bit about Muhammadu Buhari? He was actually the president for a very brief moment in 1983 when he seized power through a coup. So can you tell us a bit about this president? I mean, myself, not very kind of up on my Nigerian news, but he is a figure in Nigerian politics.
Right, right. Well, he doesn't have a very clean record, as we all know. He had he ruled in the 80s for a while, and he actually came to power in his own coup, I think in 1983. But he doesn't have a very nice track record. He has some human rights abuses and some claims of torture that, you know, you have to kind of go and research a little deeper. But, you know, I don't know. People can have their say about it when it comes to that. But now I think, you know, it's a new season, and it's a new generation, actually. So we're kind of hoping that, or Nigerians are hoping that, you know, he'll bring something else to the table now. So, yeah.
And what is it that the new generation of Nigerians, the younger generation of Nigerians, what are they hoping that he will bring? You know, the presidency of Goodluck Jonathan has been marred by corruption and an increase in kind of attacks by Boko Haram in the north of the country, and kind of, you know, Goodluck Jonathan has also been accused of not really paying attention to that, to the insurgency that's going on. So what is it that we're hoping for in this kind of presidency,
right,
of Buhari?
Well, when I spoke to people on the ground, some of the main concerns were infrastructure development, power. You know, people still probably right now are not having electricity in their homes. Of course, insecurity, Boko Haram, the insurgency in the north was a major concern for people going to the polls. Everyone I spoke to, every single person I spoke to, said that they want peace in their country, and that they want to eat. They want to have jobs. They want to be able to get through traffic. And Lagos has a ridiculous problem with traffic. So those are the main concerns that voters were taking with them to the polls as they voted. And that's what they're hoping that General Buhari can do. They want jobs. They want corruption to end so that those jobs can, you know, trickle down. And, I mean, Muhammadu Buhari, in his speeches, you know, as we realized that he was the winner, he promised to bring that to life for his people. So this is what the future needs to hold for voters and the young people in Nigeria.
And, I mean, having just got back from Nigeria and yourself being Nigerian, is there...
No, I'm not.
Sorry.
I'm not Nigerian.
My God, I assumed you were.
It's okay. I'm African-American.
Okay. Uh-huh. Is there hope in Buhari? Like, I know that this is what people are hoping will come out of it. We're hoping will come out of his presidency. What do you think? What do people think the possibility of that is? Is there hope for that?
Well, I think there are two parts to it. You know, I know that people definitely want to change. You know, people know what Jonathan had to offer. today, I don't think people are really sure what General Buhari will do. I mean, I think people are hopeful, obviously, and they want it changed, which is why he, you know, gained the seat. But it's tricky, you know, because he does have a record of human rights abuse and a record of dictatorship and military rule. So, but at the same time, some people feel like they might need that to organize Nigeria to, you know, end the insurgency in the north. And so it's two parts, you know, and I personally can't say that, yes, Buhari will, you know, take the whip and change the country. Because, yeah, he won the election, but now the bigger story now is what happens next, you know. Yes, he's spoken a lot about ending corruption and ending Boko Haram and the insurgency, but now what? You know, the work really begins now, or May 29th when he's inaugurated.
And do you know what Buhari, and I don't know if you might know this, but what his kind of feeling is about the regional response to the insurgency in the north? Like, there has been a very concerted mm-hmm. regional response, right? It's not a Nigerian response. And we had read in the headlines also that there is, that ECOWAS is planning a summit on April 8th, which I think is Wednesday. ECOWAS mm-hmm. and the Community of Central African States. What is your feeling in terms of, like, Buhari's kind of willingness to work with that regional response?
Well, absolutely. Since this is like his, I feel like this is just his area of expertise. You know, he was a military leader in the 80s. And, I mean, but I'm not exactly sure how he would approach, you know, dealing with Boko Haram. But I'm pretty sure that it would be very different and more hands-on from the way that President Jonathan dealt with them, as he was rather quiet and, you know, a little slow to make moves when it came to dealing with Boko Haram. But General Buhari seems to just be really eager to address that concern. Some of the main things, or some of his main points when he's discussing what he's going to do for Nigeria, his main points are, we will end Boko Haram, we will face them, we will do this, you know. But, you know, for now, it's just his words. We will have to see going forward what he will do, but I don't doubt that that is definitely a major concern for him, and that he's going to tackle it. How he will tackle it, that's to be seen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, and definitely mm-hmm. most of this comes from, okay, now let's see what happens, right?
Exactly.
But mm-hmm. I mean, mm-hmm. it sounds like spirits are high, and there is some sort of confidence that something
Absolutely.
Will happen. So I wanted mm-hmm. to maybe shift a bit in terms of this kind of Western perception of, you know, the standoff between Muhammadu Buhari and Goodluck Jonathan. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think everyone is really pleased with the results in terms of the way, you know, Goodluck Jonathan conceded without mm-hmm. kind of any contest. I mean, there was a bit of contestation, but without making it a big deal, which is very, obviously very encouraging and very you know, mm-hmm. good to see. But, you know, there was a lot made in, I think, especially Western media about the religious differences between Buhari and Jonathan, about the ethnic differences, yeah. about the regional differences, which, you know, mm-hmm. didn't actually come to full, right? So can you,
exactly.
Is that even a big deal, or, like, what does that look like on the ground?
It's not a big deal at all. I mean, Christians were voting for Buhari, Muslims were voting for Jonathan. We spoke to a lot of people on the ground. I went in Abuja. I went to at least maybe 10 different polling stations and, you know, spoke to people. And just people from all ethnic lines were voting for the other, if you know what I'm saying. So it didn't even play, you know. People were just sort of fed up, or they were just, you know, still trying to follow Jonathan, or they wanted to see Jonathan's path through. So that didn't play, it didn't, you know, make a difference in this election.
And so the reason I bring it up is because that is one of these kind of, you know, stereotypes almost, or one of these kind of storylines that the West likes to follow when it comes to Africa. And so, in that sense, it's really important to have alternative medias, I mean, such as this radio show, but also such as, for example, Sahara Reporter. So I'm wondering if you could, you know, talk a bit about the role of the alternative media in things like elections in places like Nigeria, especially because you are a video reporter and you did, I mean, you did go to Nigeria to kind of document, in a way, the election.
Absolutely. I mean, so, you know, Sahara Reporters has been around for at least 6 years now. I might be missing a year or two there. But specifically in Nigeria for the election, you know, the way that we operate, we have citizen journalists, you know, we're just not going there with the mindset of like mainstream journalists and news. We'll have citizen journalists who are volunteers all over the country who are using their cell phones. They're, you know, tweeting. They're sending in their tweets. They're posting things on social media, and then they're allowing us to use their content to share a message, you know, so we're just not, you know, relying on our own, you know, headquarters to just, you know, disseminate news or spread news. We're allowing everyone to take action and to share their voice. We allow everyone to take access and share their voice when it came to this election. So I think that's the importance of alternative news. You know, we're finding a different way to share a message. It's not just mainstream anymore that is, you know, telling a story, especially when it comes to Africa. Everyone has a hand in it. And even people in the States, we have people from all over the world sharing information, sharing results, you know, although they're unofficial, you know, sharing what they might have thought the result would be, you know, just that discussion. And then, also, of course, social media plays a big role in what we do. And it also makes us even more alternative because we use that. We use that to even break news sometimes. So, yeah, that's the importance.
And if our listening audience wanted to tap into Sahara Reporters, what are the formats, I guess? I know you have a website.
Yes, yes, yes. We have a website, Sahara Reporters, which is our parent sort of website. It's our where our news is published, our written text news is published, SaharaReporters.com. People can go there. We have an online TV show. We broadcast news about Africa. You know, we zone in on Nigeria and the Nigerian politics, but we also focus on Africa, the continent, and issues coming from there. And people can go to SaharaReporters.tv to watch our live show. We stream live every Saturday between 10 p.m. Eastern Time to 4 p.m. And that happens on Saturday. And we also have a radio broadcast that happens every Wednesday. The hours are between, I believe, 5:30 p.m. Eastern Time and 7 p.m. And that is sort of like an well-rounded sort of radio show where we discuss Nigerian news, African news, entertainment. It's pretty much everything in one, the radio show. And that website can, I think their website is SaharaFM.com. But you can also find more out about that on SaharaReporters.com. And of course, we're all over Facebook and social media, and just Google us and it'll all come up.
Amazing. And I did not know that you had a radio show. This is very exciting.
Yeah, we've been doing radio now for about 3 years, actually, or two and a half years.
Mm-hmm. Okay, amazing. And we should definitely talk offline about sharing content and
definitely.
Stuff. But,
definitely.
Can you tell us a bit about the project that you worked on when you were in Nigeria this time?
Yes, yes, yes. So, you know, I was in Nigeria in February for the initial elections, but I landed immediately I immediately found out the elections had been postponed. So, great. What am I doing, right? I'm in Nigeria for like 2 weeks, yeah, about 2 weeks. So during that time, I actually went to a refugee camp and I shared a story about internally displaced persons from the north in Lagos. And I can send you that link when we're offline.
Sure.
But this time around, I traveled to Lagos initially and we kind of set up our crew, our Lagos Nigerian elections crew there. And then I immediately went to Abuja, which was where the INEC headquarters are, INEC, which was overseeing the electoral process. And, you know, I had access to the media room and the coalition center, so we were able to kind of check in with other journalists there and see what's going on. And we were also involved in the coalition process But I didn't stay there that much. I also went around to different polling stations throughout Abuja, and I got a chance to see what it's like for people to vote. I got the chance to see how the new card readers were working or not working in some stations. I got a chance to witness, you know, what people were going through. I got a chance to see how the NYSC members, the people who were volunteering to count the ballots, how they were dealing with, like, so much, you know, at the end of the day, when people finished their voting, the volunteers had to come together and count the numbers. And as night came, you know, electricity would be very sporadic. So it would be very, very tedious with making sure the numbers are accurate. And I got a chance to witness how, you know, the people on the streets were standing there after they were finished voting. They would wait to see who won in their polling station. So it was very, very engaging, very exciting, and very peaceful, I must say. So to see all that happening in Abuja.
I mean,
so that was my experience there, and that's exactly what I came out with this time around.
And so are you, in terms of the elections, did you make a video that's available online that people can watch? Or?
Yeah, I will be making a video. Yeah. I actually am the producer of a documentary series called Africa in the City.
Okay.
And it's basically me telling stories about Africa and Africans in the continent or wherever they may be. And so I will be working to compile a story about the elections and you know, what happened.
Great.
And that should be ready within a week's time.
And we'll definitely, I mean, if you send me that, we'll definitely get it on our blog so our listeners can follow up on that. So, Tracy, I'd really like to thank you for coming on our show today and sharing with us your experience at the Nigerian elections. Is there anything that maybe you wanted to add that we haven't discussed in terms of the elections or in terms of alternative media?
Well, I'd just like to say that, you know, I know that it's pretty clear now that the elections were very peaceful and democratic. And I just want to say that it is all true. You know, I was even shocked myself at how easy it was to cover the elections. I thought that I would run into so many problems. And I think a lot of people are just shocked, you know, like a lot of people are saying that Nigeria really shocked us, you know. But it's true. It was very, very easy for me to move around. I had no problems with security. Police officers were, you know, willing. They were open to media, you know. And in the past, I've had, you know, it hasn't been on this level, but in the past, I've had issues where it's been difficult to do certain things in Nigeria, you know, the last time I went. But this time around, I think all of the government bodies and people involved, they really did a great job in trying to make this thing as democratic as possible.
Great. Well, I feel bad admitting, but I was kind of like, yeah, this went pretty... I mean, especially, I think, because the election was initially delayed, right? Which sends off these kind of, worrisome vibes.
Yeah,
right? So in the end, it kind of came together is amazing, yeah.
Exactly. And then maybe you heard about there was one outburst at the Coalition Center with a Mr. Godspay Arubibi. He was a member of the PDP party, and he had some issues with the way the INEC was handling the vote and the elections. But that was the only moment where it kind of felt like, okay, things are going to go downhill. But, you know, his outburst lasted for about maybe 15 minutes. And then after that, things became really normal. And the elections, the counting of the votes continued, and it was just peaceful from then on out.
And that must be such a change for you coming from the States where elections are always a headache and,
yeah.
you know, get stolen. So,
yeah, yeah.
you guys can learn from Nigeria.
Exactly. My eyes were just so wide all the time because there's so many things that, you know, I couldn't believe. This is my first time covering elections in Africa, and you know, I've heard stories about, you know, African elections and how they can be very difficult, how rigging can take place. But actually, I felt very safe. I was very free to move around, and everyone voting also, you know, felt the same way. Well, the people that I spoke to, for that matter.
Mm-hmm. Great. Well, Tracy, thanks once again for joining us today. Tracy Thompson is a video reporter from Sahara Reporters, and we will get all those links up on our blog.
Cool.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And you are tuned in to CHRY 105.5 FM. This is Mandala, An African Perspective. I am your host today, Ome Salma Rahemtullah. And we were speaking with Tracy Thompson, who's a reporter for Sahara Reporters, and speaking to us about the elections.